Second reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 5, beginning at verse 16. This can be found on page 1068 of the Pew Bibles. John 5, verse 16. So, because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honour the Son just as they honour the Father. He who does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you both. Do please keep that page open on your Bibles, 1068. We're looking at chapter 5 of John. And let's pray for God's help. Father God, we thank you for these true accounts of Jesus and his words. And we pray that you'd help us to understand something of what they meant then and what they might mean for us today. Amen. So over the next 3 weeks here at church, we're going to be looking at the rest of chapter 5. And it's Jesus speaking all the way to the end of the chapter. It's rich, there's much to puzzle over, but whether you go deep or you stay simple, we're going to find out that Christianity is all about Jesus. Now, one might ask, why not stay with talking about gods? And lots of people can agree with that, can't we? We can all get on board, the whole godness thing. Try not to make too much of Jesus. But again and again, we come back to this and we discover it's all about Jesus. Doing Christianity Explored course recently, when I meet with couples thinking about baptism, at school, all these sorts of things where people interact with what the Bible says, I come back to again and again and realize it's all about Jesus. So let's look at what Jesus says, and then we can make up our own minds about the most important person who ever walked this planet of ours. Look at his claim there in verse 24, where we finished with our reading for today. "I tell you the truth," Jesus says, "whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He's crossed over from death to life." So what is he saying? This is about ultimate destination, eternal life or condemnation and death. There couldn't be anything more important, could there? And what is the deciding factor? Jesus says, "The one who hears my word and believes him who sent me." Who is this Jesus person to say such a thing? Christianity is all about Jesus. The immediate context is Jesus' healing miracle in the first part of this chapter. So if you were here last week, you'll remember he does a healing. The guy kind of gets up and picks up his mat. He's not been able to walk before. But the problem is that it happens on a Sabbath, God's holy day of rest. It's not against Old Testament law, but it's against the extra rules the Pharisees made to protect the people. Jesus had broken their rules. He's flaunted the authority of the religious leaders, and so rejection and hatred of Jesus increases. Verse 16, because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. In verse 17, Jesus explains, he gives a defense. He says to them, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. What was he saying? Well, it might not leap out at us, 21st century audience, but certainly his audience then, well-versed in the Bible as they were, understand what he's saying. He is calling God his Father. He's making himself equal with God. And this does not calm them down. For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Outrageous thing to claim, Jesus. Well, in our Old Testament reading, in Deuteronomy 6, we had really words which would be really famous to any Jewish family. They call it the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, etc. And they'd have repeated it regularly within their families. They'd have known it. The Lord is one. Later goes on to say, well, if you turn to other gods, that's idolatry. And in the history of God's people, it led directly to God sending his people from his land, sending them away from his presence and into the exile. They'd have remembered this. They'd have no idolatry. We need to stick with our one Lord. In 2 Kings 17, in a few verses, it describes this. All this took place, the exile, because the Israelites had sinned against the Lord their God, who brought them out of Egypt. They worshipped other gods, followed the practices of the nations, and the Lord had driven them out before him. The Israelites persisted in all the sins. They worshipped idols. They did not turn away from them. And the Lord removed them from his presence as he had warned them. It's there. It's a big warning to them. Do not turn from God to other gods, to idols. And so the Pharisees hear Jesus claim to equality with God as being idolatry. They say, no, it drives them crazy. We must protect our one God, our monotheism. Jesus claims, well, they're leading people astray. And the next step, exile. You don't want that again. I guess this might have lost its bite today. We don't have the Jewish context. We have relativism. Quite often, if you tell people, oh, there's another God, they go, oh, okay, we'll just add it on to the list. But what we need to hear is Jesus claiming exclusivity against this kind of 21st century tolerance of just adding different views, and that's your way, and that's my way, and that's his way, that's her way, and we'll all get together in the end. Jesus says, no, my words. You might say, well, really? The words of Jesus versus all the other words coming at us? Well, I don't know if you remember sort of adverts back in the day. Do you remember the man from Del Monte? They had the kind of big fruit crop thing, and then there'd be this big pause, wouldn't they? The man with the Panama, in fact, oh, yes, the man with the Panama hat, he was out there, and there'd be this pause, and the man from Del Monte, he'd say, yes, and then there was great cheering. Here's the crop is good to be tinned and sent to us. Or to Jesus, they're saying, you're claiming equality with God. And the rest of this passage, Jesus says, yes, I am equal with God, and you need to hear my words. So in verse 49, he begins an extended explanation. I tell you the truth. We need to note Jesus being equal with God. It does not diminish the godness of the Father or of the Son. Jesus is saying, I am one with the Father. I'm not competing. We're united in purpose and work. And you can see this in a number of ways. And we're going to see the first three today. So first of all, Jesus is one with the Father in action. We do the same stuff. Just recently, Prince Harry and Meghan have been withdrawing from being senior royals. And I guess as they step down from the doings, they step down from the titles, don't they? And the privileges. And there's going to be some wranglings as to what they can keep and what they have to let go of. And I guess we're all familiar, maybe, in various contexts. If someone is not acting like their role, they don't deserve to be treated with the respect their role has. It's a boss who doesn't lead. Well, how can you treat them as a boss? A teacher who doesn't communicate. Well, they're not really doing what they want. Maybe even a parent who doesn't love their children. They're not being their parents. Here Jesus says, I am equal with God because I do that role. I am equal with God in action. So he says there, Jesus gave him this answer. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. The Father's activity and the Son's activity, they're closely intertwined. They get up to the same things. They do not have different zones of activity. And we see in verse 20 that they're bonded in love. They understand and they're revealed to each other and they're bonded in love, unity holding them together. Father loves the Son and shows him his deeds, and the Son does these same things. By himself, the Son can do nothing. The Son only does what the Father does. Down in verse 30, he says the same thing. By himself, Jesus can do nothing. Surrounding this passage, it's quite a big principle. So what do we see the Son doing when we read the Gospels? We see him healing, teaching, raising people from the dead, accepting the outsider, sacrificially loving, commanding creation. These are the things the Father does. Recreating Eden, fixing the damage and brokenness caused by sin. And this is what the Son does, because that is what the Father does. Brings healing, renewing, a new start and hope. And one important example is what happens at the cross. We're in danger if we separate the Father and the Son too much. They do not have kind of different sort of areas of activity here. This is not a parent sending a child who's separate to take the pain. It's not that, or the Father finding a human representative for us. This is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, acting in unity, together in mission, to offer us themselves. It's the Trinity God working to bring us to them. Jesus says, I do what the Father does. So that's a really important thing to hold together. If I claimed to be king of White Waltham, which I think it would be fun to do, but I think I've been thinking about this too much this week. But if I claim to be king of White Waltham, I could say, I can do all things that a king can do. You might want to test that. You might say, okay, Dave, make a law and see if it's obeyed. People can only walk one way down the road or something. Or go around and see if you get any respect, which is laughable, frankly. Does anyone come to ask for your kingly leadership? You'd want to test this. It's all right very well saying, oh, I do what a king does. But you'd want to see it in action. Jesus says, I do what the Father does. Well, you might question, Jesus, you say you're one in action. Well, can you do it? Well, his next claim is, I am one with the Father in power. One with the Father in action, one with the Father in power. He's saying, look, my miracles, my signs that I have done before you, they show who I am. So at the end of the last chapter, chapter 4, verse 54, we see this was the second miraculous sign that Jesus performs. In John's Gospel particular, some of the miracles are labelled signs, pointing to who Jesus is. The first one was the water into wine, chapter 2, verse 11. This was the first sign. At the end of his book, John will write, these things, these signs are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And by believing, you may have life in his name. They're signs. The healing at the pool is another miracle that Jesus has done, a sign. And these people are saying, well, who are you to do this? He said, look, this is a sign pointing to who Jesus is. And there are even greater things to come. In fact, in verse 21, it looks like even the greatest power is his. For just as Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he's pleased to give it. The greatest power is Jesus's, and it's proven when he's raised from the dead. He doesn't just have little small realm. He is raised from the dead. He can give life. Life from the dead. Life from the dead in our daily lives as we sort of seek to be forgiven from sins, transgressions, and seek to go his way and to be freed from the power of sin. And also life forever. So expect Jesus' words to give life. And life to the full. Do you remember the story Jesus told? The builders building on sand or rock. The wise build their lives on rock, on the words of Jesus. Or the foolish man later on in the Bible who looks in the mirror and then goes away without acting on it. Jesus says, no, my words, they should make a difference in your life. Listen to him and then obey. Speak, act, believe. Jesus gives life, a life that brings good and that lasts. And when he says, I am the bread of life, or when he says, I am the water of life, when he says, come to me, all you who are burdened, and I will refresh you and give you rest. This is now. We can cast our troubles onto him now. You can bring your cares and anxieties and guilts, your hurt and pain and failure, because Jesus is one with the Father in action and power, and he is for you and can be with you to help you to live life now and forever. You feel this is wonderful news. Jesus says, I do what the Father does, and I have the same power. And so the third thing, I do what the Father does, I have the same power, and so then I am one with the Father in honor. This is down in verse 22 and 23. Later on, next week, we're going to come to what it means for him to be judge, which is also there in those verses. But it at least points to how you respond to Jesus. So I don't know when the last time was you tried to get in to see someone or something important. Maybe it was royalty or a president or something, or even something like Disneyland, Paris, which at the entrance has this huge security check. Have you been through these things recently? You have to empty your bags. Maybe they do the kind of metal detector where I always have to take my belt off as well. Maybe you have to confirm your identity to get in, a massive security check. Well, I wonder if sometimes we think of Jesus as a bit like that. He's the security check. He's the way in. We come to him, we get cleared, and then we can get into God. That God is the main deal, isn't he? Maybe he's one entrance, he's dealing with this particular entrance, and there are other entrances into God. Well, in these verses, we see clearly that Jesus is not just the bouncer at the door, letting us into the presence of God. The claim here is that actually he is the king on the throne. He isn't checking us and passing us on to something greater. He asks, are you in my kingdom? Do you take me as your king? Or do you reject me, ignore me, and go your own way? Do we honor Jesus as the Father? And it's so important, he puts it in two different ways down there. So he says, the Father has entrusted all judgment to the Son. All may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. And he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Honor the Son as honor the Father. They're one in honor. So treat Jesus as you would treat God. So think back, maybe through the Bible, some expressions of worship. Remember God at the mountain? There's awe. There's a right fear of our gods. Do we hold our Lord Jesus in that sort of regard, in reverence? Do we honor the Lord Jesus in our lives? Do we put him first? Do we listen to his words and expect commands to obey in what we do, how we spend our time and money, what we choose to say to people? Now, Jesus does proclaim and offer himself to be our big brother, our friend, to bear our burdens. And we work hard. We work hard as a church to try and be a loving community, a welcoming family, where we hear each other, seek to care for each other in the model of Jesus. And that's good, but we do need to be careful. Someone once said that Jesus is not almighty, he is almighty. He's not almighty, he is almighty. And he is to be honored. Honor the Son as you do the Father. And then Jesus emphasizes it. If you do not honor the Son, you do not honor the Father. If we want to honor God, we need to honor Jesus. So what does that mean about how we relate to people of other religions? All are created in God's image, although there is some spoiling there. All are given a desire to relate to God, although we can go after the wrong things. And all truth is God's truth, and you will have friends of other religions, Islam, Hinduism, atheism, JWs, who speak some truth and seem to live well in some ways. But all are trying to get to God in some way themselves, working or trying to achieve, instead of coming to Jesus as Lord and Saviour, who offers himself freely. And anyone who is trying to do when Jesus has already done, well, that's just another way of rejecting Jesus. Ignore that and find our own way. That's rejecting what Jesus has to offer. If they do not honor Jesus, they do not honor God. So let's bring this together. Who is Jesus? Someone has suggested that there are three options. Jesus is mad, he's bad, or he's God. Is he mad? He's saying crazy things here that don't make any sense. But then that doesn't seem to match up with his actions with people and the wisdom he brings and the compassion he has. Or maybe he's bad. Maybe these things are deceitful lies. He's calling people to follow a fraud and trying to lead them the wrong way. But then think of all the good that he does. The countercultural acceptance and love of the outsider. And in the end, he died for people when he was given every chance of escape just by denying these claims that he made. Is he mad? Is he bad? Or is he God? Is he who he claims to be, which will allow for no neutral ground? There's no take or leave it with Jesus. I think, I'll give him some thought and put him on the back burner. And this is a great example of that, isn't it, in this passage. He claims to equality with the Creator God, the same power, taking the same actions and deserving the same honour, making himself equal with God and having the words of life. Christianity is all about Jesus. So what do you make of him? Look in on this interaction with me and make up your own mind. If you do not honour Jesus, Jesus says, you do not honour God. Because Jesus is the Son and he shows us God as Father. Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One, and he gives us God as the Holy Spirit. Jesus is equal to Father God in action, in power and in honour. Because Jesus is the King on the throne and it is all about Jesus. Let me lead us in a prayer. Father God, we thank you for sending Jesus into the world to do amazing things and to speak amazing things. And as we dwell on what he says here, help us to see him clearly. Help us to make up our own minds about who Jesus is. If we think of him as Lord and Saviour, help us to reverence him, to honour him in our lives. And as we think of those we may know who do not yet know Jesus as Lord and Saviour, help us to present him clearly to them, that they may come to hear his words of life, life now, and life to the full forever. Amen.